boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
And I'm John O'Lobster. No wing.
That happens.
This week, it's a bummer, but this week we're paying homage to the late, great Burt Reynolds, who passed away earlier this month. Actually, the day we're recording, his funeral was earlier today. Well, we're talking about one of his most famous roles, but we're also celebrating the start of football season with a gridiron classic. When a disgraced quarterback runs afoul of the law, he must field a team of hardened convicts to take on the abusive guards in a game behind bars and on the gridiron. The Longest Yard, directed by Hollywood legend Robert Aldrich, further cemented Burt Reynolds' movie star status while making a killing at the box office. But does the movie, which also spawned a mega successful remake in 2005, score a touchdown with our hosts, or should it be sent to the swamp? Beef?
Ah, the swamp. What a
swamp reclamation. The old days when you used to josh a fellow by dumping some swamp muck down his boots.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And then down his shorts, like
I like that he stood there while Burt Reynolds stuck the shovel down his pants.
Right.
He doesn't know where it's going.
I'm prepared for this, I guess, and I'm semi okay with it. To me, it was the time capsule of really how different an era 74 was.
Well, you can kind of play 70s bingo with domestic abuse, blatant racism, abusive power and violence towards those entrusted in your care. I guess mocking the mentally handicapped at some point, although they kind of set him up to be a hero.
Yeah, but they as soon as they introduced Sonny, I was like, oh God, no. This is gonna be bad. But they
get to play football.
Right, and he had the googly eyes. And
basically he's a Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder. Which there's a line there, but I won't cross it.
But the thing is that I expected them to go really hard after it, but really you see him get the one or two sacks and that's about it. No one really overtly makes fun of,
I mean, speaking of Adam Sandler football movies, it's The Waterboy, right?
Right, exactly. Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, this was I don't want to say better than I thought it would be,
right?
But I found myself a lot more entertained than I thought I would be, and he looks weird without a mustache.
And I kind of think that's deliberate because they shave it off and they're like, oh, this is your $10 million mustache or whatever it was. And I kind of feel like, okay, well, I guess you can't have a mustache in prison. That's part of the rule. But they made a big deal. It was almost like a G.I. Jane type thing.
Right.
Like they made a big deal out of him losing this iconic part of himself.
I got that too, but it just felt so, I don't know. It was weird. Here's your $5,000. You got $5 million, whatever it was.
Half of it.
Yeah. Dick. It'd be better if they made him walk around with half of it for a little bit, you know?
Or like a Charlie Chaplin or something.
See, I'm glad you said that, because there's been a couple times I've been shaving my facial hair, and I get down to that last little bit, and I go, man, Hitler really ruined that Charlie Chaplin mustache.
He ruined it. Why couldn't it be the J. Jonah Jameson? Why couldn't that be our go-to? Why does it have to be Hitler?
Oh, like you said, the blatant sexism and shit. When he first is introduced to the chick with the crazy blonde beehive.
Miss Toots?
Yes, Miss Toots. And he's like, you ever do it standing up? I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to take in here. For sure.
What do your guys need? Steroids, vitamins, greenies? What?
Thankfully, it's a mostly all male movie, so there isn't too much. Although the Cheerios of Cell Block C or something.
Yeah, let's please thank our gala halftime event. come on, a little bit on the nose there.
Kind of makes a comeback, unfortunately, in the remake. Which I thought we were past at that point, but
God, I don't even remember the remake. That was still firmly in my no good days.
Well, it wouldn't have improved them, I guess I'll put it that way. I don't, again, it made like 100 million or more at the box office. Like, it did crazy money. And Burt Reynolds was in it. He played the coach, the old timer, but no good. I don't think it was good.
Well, I mean, you were missing Jaws, so it couldn't be good.
Right. They had Goldberg instead. That was what they did. But
so was he really that big, or did they just make him look that much bigger?
He was 7'2" in real life. So
okay.
Seven feet 2 inches. So big guy, and this was pre-Jaws. He had not done the role of Jaws. Yeah, he had not done the role of Jaws yet in The Spy Who Loved Me.
Wow, okay. That dates it then for sure.
Yep.
I like that he finally, after like a third or two-thirds of the movie, goes to recruit the black guys. He's like, come on, guys. And then the one dude who kind of stands up and says he'll go. I can't remember Granny. His name. Yeah. Good dude, right? And then it's great when all the white asshole guards come in and start insulting him in front of everybody, and all the other black guys are like, all right, now it's time to just kick ass. Let this,
yeah.
Do I get to hit the guards? That's what the dude would know as karate.
Well, so there's kind of a fun thing in this where, like, obviously football can be a brutal sport, but certainly this is emphasizing, I mean, sports as brutality, basically. Like, this is your opportunity to beat up the other team. And one of the punchlines in the film during the game comes when a guard is paralyzed. They broke his effing neck.
Oh, my God. They say it like 7 fucking times.
They broke his fucking neck.
Yeah. Or no. No, it was, I think I fucking killed him.
No, it's, I think I broke his fucking neck.
Yeah, you're right.
I think he broke his fucking neck.
And then it's the announcer and everybody. Yeah. Ugh.
But, you know, I mean, I feel like that's what it's celebrating. I guess a hockey movie may have been more appropriate for the level of violence that they were inflicting. But on the other hand, it's what it is.
Well, they made that easier by doing it with prisoners, you know?
Yeah. They already established that there was brutality among the guards towards the prisoners, so it was well deserved when they paid it back.
Right, and they showed it too. The guards were dicks, like I said, the scene in the library. I thought it was cool that right after that, when all the other black dudes had pretty much signed up for the team, that, you know, movie in 74, everybody's like sitting around the same table in prison eating, whether you're black or white. It's kind of interesting. The game film, getting the game film, and then his 15 minutes of makeout time.
I enjoyed that.
It was a cool way to do it, too. The zipper sound, and then he drops the film.
Yeah. There is some fun stuff here, for sure. There's also some emotional stuff. Obviously, I think Caretaker's death and the way they play that.
Oh, and locking him in the cell when he's on fire.
Oh, Unger.
Dick. Oh, when he yells, fuck off! I was like, dang, Unger. It's right with you. But yeah, like you're saying, sorry, Caretaker's death was actually emotional and had something.
Right, absolutely. And I believe he was played by Chris Rock in the remake. I don't know.
The uniforms that he, his last surprise.
Yeah. The Mean Machine.
Ah, yes. When the run for an extra point was only 1 and not 2.
Mm-hmm.
The drop kick.
I do like that.
I was like, what the fuck? Why don't we do that anymore? That's awesome.
Trick plays. You know, I think the football part, for what it's worth, is well filmed. I think when they finally got to it and they started doing the split screen and stuff
that
like that.
That was fun.
I thought, where was this the whole movie? Like, why? Like, they could have done that during the car chase at the beginning and had that kind of be a callback to it when they did it during the game. Like, they could have done a little bit more with that type of stuff to make it engaging and interesting.
I mean, at 2 hours and 1 minute, they could snip some stuff and, you know, it could benefit from today's editing a bit. But
yeah, absolutely.
I don't. I don't know, the dude that he got in the mud fight with, how he just kept walking past him and like doing push-ups and then doing one-handed Rocky push-ups and then like standing against a tree.
I think that was Rocky, right?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, but I think he was kind of supposed to look like
right.
that kind of guy.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. It's an enjoyable movie. I don't know if it's one of Burt Reynolds' best. I probably enjoy Smokey and the Bandit more, among others. But it's certainly of a time, like you said.
Yeah. You gotta. It's like going back and watching comedy skits from the 70s. You know what I mean? You got to be careful what you're getting into. Like Eddie Murphy's raw and uncensored. Yeah, they're still pretty rough today, and especially it's just different sensibilities. So I don't know. I mean, you got to know it's a movie from the 70s, like, because they're not polite with the N word at all.
No, and that's, I think, to be expected.
Correct. Jail movie from the 70s again.
Right, but at the same time,
and aren't they in the South?
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah.
So it's got all of that on it. Certainly the guards are all bastards. There was almost a part where I thought they were going to turn on Knauer and stand up to him, some of the other guards, but they never quite made that happen.
Oh, like when they were in the locker room at halftime?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because there was a murmur.
What is this guy full of? The scene at the end where he's walking away to pick up the game ball, and they're like, shoot him. They could have played that, I think, a little better, too, like giving him some grudging respect or something.
Well, I think he kind of got that by not listening to his boss.
Right,
by not listening to his boss and just instantly shooting him.
Yeah, you could have maybe fired a shot in the air or something.
True. Again, it plays out like you think, you know. Oh, give him 21 points. Oh, then his conscience feels bad. And then the guys don't go with him right away and let him get sacked a few times. And, I mean, it's a football cliche, you know, but it's not bad. It's still entertaining for what it is. More notes
on
this puppy?
I've got a bunch of trivia
type
stuff.
Let's do it.
A lot of the stars of the film were real-life football players, including Ray Nitschke from your Green Bay Packers, who was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1978, 4 years after this movie came out. So I think that's kind of cool. This was filmed at a real prison in Georgia with cooperation from Jimmy Carter, who was then the governor of Georgia. and this is one of two football movies, well, not counting The Longest Yard remake that Burt Reynolds did. He also did Semi-Tough. And Reynolds himself had played college ball for FSU before getting injured, unlike the character in the movie who says he never got so much as a hangnail.
I like that it says filming has been had been delayed from time to time due to prison uprisings.
Yeah, so they were filming, not like Walking Dead where they film at an abandoned prison. It's a real prison, and there were uprisings and things accompanying the film.
Huh.
Yeah, so, you know, you can imagine the tactics they would have used, put them in the box, that kind of thing.
Oh, definitely. That's, again, back when, like, corporal punishment, you know, it's bad enough to sit in a solitary cell. Now do it outside in 90 degree heat, direct sunlight.
Right. Yeah. An oven. You're doing it in an oven. Yeah. A crematorium.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is good. I don't know, again, we're paying homage to Burt Reynolds. I think Wing had a hand in picking the film. I think I was stumping for Cannonball Run, but still, you know, it's a good look at his charisma. You know, definitely it's a movie that he's having to win over people that don't like him, and you can kind of see how he's really just playing himself. As he says in Smokey and the Bandit, to know me is to love me.
Oh my God. Yeah, he does well. And like I said, in the beginning, he kind of is that douchey quarterback, and it is the redemption arc, if you will. So I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Although presumably he's going to do another 30 years or something for They're like, we're going to pin Caretaker's death on you, make you an accessory. And he's like, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that. So should we rate this puppy?
I think we could do that.
All right. So for the longest yard, legendary.
Smokey in the ball game.
Legend of its time.
Cannonball run to the end zone.
Cult legend.
Deliverance of victory.
Awesome.
Touchdown Boogie Nights.
Entertaining.
White Lightning offense.
Mayable.
Calling an audible. That's where you change the play, so I'm changing my my theme here.
Forgettable.
Wide right.
Abysmal.
Shutout.
Spring Breakers Highlander D&D.
I'll say it. The Adam Sandler remake.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With the side of Gator, the movie that was a sequel to White Lightning that Burt Reynolds actually directed. Gator Aid.
I get it, because the Florida stuff that was made by...
See what I did there?
I do. For this, I will go White Lightning offense. Give it a solid entertaining with a side of Gatorade. I really had no hopes for this just because it's, you know, it's an old movie that's been remade. I'm kind of a ageist or elitist when it comes to the ages of my movies because, again, we know that I don't have attention span for much. But still, this kind of kept my attention. It was entertaining enough and goofy enough to, yeah, just have me there. And like I said, I kept going, is that really Burt Reynolds? He doesn't have a mustache. So, White Lightning offense. Lobster.
I will second that with a second helping of White Lightning and also call it entertaining. I don't think... I tried to kind of rank with my rankings what I thought were some of his better films. So I think this stands on par with, you know, his entertaining movies, but definitely not his greatest roles.
Okay. Well, I'd be down to revisit a couple of the other ones later on. I honestly can't remember, you know, Smokey and the Bandit and all that shit. So
I think you made a comment about Tom Selleck when we heard the news that Burt Reynolds had passed.
I did, because as a kid growing up, I always got the furry chested mustached men and then the what's his face, because Burt Reynolds drove the Trans Am and Magnum PI. I always, as a kid, he had a fast car, so I was like, they're the same guy.
They're the same guy, right?
Yep. It just, I didn't make any other
one
jump.
One of them wears a Hawaiian shirt and appears
on
Friends.
I was young. I didn't make any jump. So, last word on the longest yard.
Points.
Shaving.
Ooh, well done. You say points, I say shaving. Points.
Shaving.
Points.
Shaving.
That's hilarious. What time is it?
News time.
Oh, holy crap. Movies came out this weekend. One of them was The Predator.
Oh, I'm so saddened by what people are saying about this.
Did you go see it as
no.
you were boasting that you would?
No, I did not.
People are whelmed by it, I guess, is a good way to put it. I haven't heard anything stellar, although I've heard that it kind of breathes a little bit of new life into the franchise, which I guess is good. But it didn't kill at the box office. It got $24 million domestic, which is a little disappointing.
What were they expecting? Was there any...
Yeah, I saw predictions that it would top $30 million, which I think got people excited. But then when it didn't do that, it, you know... People were
I haven't heard good things about it. I've read some spoiler-free reviews, and then when everybody's kind of saying the same thing, I kind of read a couple spoilery ones. So I'm still going to go see it. I'm still going to pay for it. But fuck, man, it's Shane Black. If it's bad, what the fuck?
Right. And, you know, I like Shane Black for some of his other movies. I'm a proponent of Iron Man 3 as one of the good Marvel movies. Most people put that in the not good column. I like it. But again, a little underwhelming here.
Yeah, 3 was better than 2, I thought, right?
Most people most people would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. Whew. Yeah. I thought I had it backwards.
Now that we're up into like over 20 Marvel movies, people have to make lists and rankings and be definitive. I like Iron Man 3.
I think that I won't be able to say it much more. Mm-hmm. Krasians is at almost 190 million worldwide for the tiny amount it costs to make.
Right. Every time you say that, we probably lose some listeners, but go ahead, get it out of your system.
Sorry, it's listeners. Fine.
I want to highlight The Meg
and
Hotel Transylvania 3 for joining the 500 million, that's half a billion dollars globally.
That is crazy.
This past weekend. Mission Impossible Fallout also has become the top franchise earner in the Mission Impossible series with over 760 million.
I really got to go global. See that before it's out of the theaters. Have you, speaking of that, sir, seen The Meg yet?
I have not.
I
think not the time. Lots of things are brewing on the home front, so to speak.
True.
So we have a lot happening right now, and getting away to see a movie has not been one of them.
Okay. Don't yell at me.
If we catch a lull, I mean, there was in real life there was just a guy killed by a shark, so maybe that gives it a boost.
I hate it when life imitates art. It's so cliche.
Life imitates art. It's so cliche. Apparently, it was just a normal size shark.
Oh, it wasn't like
shark,
five buses or whatever.
I know.
What the fuck?
It's sad. But
step your game up, nature.
You know, don't let his death be in vain. Go see The Meg. And we've probably lost like three more listeners.
Yeah, right. Someone whose family members got a. Sorry, everybody who's ever lost someone to a shark or a dolphin. Mm-hmm. Dolphins are rapists.
It's true. See, otters aren't much better. But,
no?
That's a story for another time.
Okay.
Everybody thinks they're cute. Emmy Awards, the 70th Emmy Awards, were the other night. Did you stay up and watch any of them?
I wish I had the patience to watch those. I think reading the list is more interesting.
I think that's about all you need to do. I did catch... Rachel Brosnahan winning for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Everything, didn't it?
Right. It did. It did very well. I think I mentioned a while back that I had watched it and really enjoyed it. I stand by that assessment and would recommend, if you like comedy, it is something fun to check out. And it's a period piece, which makes it, I think, even more fun. They do it. They do that very well. I want their apartment.
Last week, Tonight did well again. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix overall came in with 7. HBO got 6. Amazon and FX were tied at 5. Barry did well also. Barry on HBO.
I haven't seen good. That. What's
the
that?
The Crown. Barry is Bill Hader plays a hitman who is kind of. You know, over being a hitman, he's kind of got the Weltschmerz, you know, the ennui. He's
hang
over
on,
it.
Stop all these terms. What now?
He's sick of it. And so he is doing a job in California and finds out that his mark is a theater student or an acting student. And he ends up like taking a class and discovers that he wants to be an actor. So it's about him trying to get away from the hitman life and figure out what it means to be an actor. Henry Winkler's in it.
Oh, my God.
Good,
okay.
Pretty good show.
All right. I'll have to check that out.
Game of Thrones also did well. So, I mean, no surprises there. But
yeah, I mean, they only got like a year left to win some of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We also got our first look at Joaquin Phoenix in Todd Phillips' Joker movie. Obviously, this is pre whatever makes him the Joker. He just looks like a normal sad sack type dude.
Well, there's a whole bunch of whiny people in the comments if you follow the link. And they're all like, it's not real. He didn't fall in the chemicals. I hope he falls in the chemicals. But one dude brings up a good point. Heath Ledger's Joker just wore white makeup.
Right. He had scars.
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't... I think he'd be a good Joker. Who knows? It's Joaquin Phoenix. What the hell?
We're going to wait and see.
Here's a picture of an old, slightly hobo-ish Joaquin Phoenix.
I mean, you know, for all I know, that's his passport photo. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it just looks like Joaquin Phoenix to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just long hair. It looks like he's kind of didn't wash it that
day. Do you remember when he had the beard and he was going to be a rapper?
No.
Oh, yeah. This happened.
Shut up.
And it was like a months and months and months long thing. And it turned out it was all a stunt for a movie he was doing.
Joaquin Phoenix had a beard as a rapper. What?
Yeah. I mean, Google Joaquin Phoenix, I'm still here.
Oh, my God. Look at the... I know. When I said that, I actually... yeah, holy crap.
It's a whole deal.
That is nuts.
I think if there's anyone who can go full method actor and just transform, I think he could do it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully a lot better than what's his
Jared
face?
Leto.
Thank you. Okay. He's been going a little too method actor lately.
Right. Also from the Joker movie, we know that
it's in the Alec Baldwin's out.
Yeah, thank you. What happened to my brain? And I could only think of Adam Baldwin.
That's fine. The other from, one of the other ones.
Well, no, he's not really.
Isn't Adam Baldwin from
Firefly?
Yeah,
and Chuck. Yeah, and he's also a right wing nut job, but. Anyway, Alec
Aren't
Baldwin.
All nut jobs right wing. I mean,
there's some left wing.
I know, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
I'm right wing.
One of them is Alec Baldwin. Right. I mean, come on, let's opposite end, right? So, Brett Cullen has been cast as Bruce Wayne's father. I don't know that name really. I guess he's on Narcos, but
yeah, I don't picture him from anything.
Yeah, I think maybe this is a case of, you know, if you've got somebody like Joaquin Phoenix in this role and it's the Joker movie, maybe you don't cast someone who could potentially steal the spotlight. You kind of let the focus be on him. But
they have Robert De Niro and Deadpool's Zazie Beetz. Is that Domino?
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
So speaking of casting heroes... opposite villains. I don't even know where to begin with this story.
Pull the Band-Aid off quickly.
So no more Henry Cavill as Superman.
I think the greatest thing about it is that talks broke down because of a cameo in Shazam scheduling issues, and he was just like, I'm out.
I think talks broke down after Zack Snyder left the DCEU, or Worlds of DC, whatever they're calling their movie universe, because I think that Henry Cavill as Superman fit a particular vision that Zack Snyder had.
True.
And I think when they were looking at all the pieces that they had and the direction that they wanted to go, and obviously... speaking of Chuck, you've got Zachary Levi as Shazam. You've got Jason Momoa as Aquaman. You've got Wonder Woman and Gal Gadot. Like, you've got this very particular direction you're taking your movie universe. And I feel like Henry Cavill and probably Ben Affleck...
like the whole dark element of it? Wipe that clean?
Well, right. I think that was the inclination. And I think that... Now, again, this isn't official. Ben Affleck has been in and out of rehab. The rumor going around is that he's also going to be exiting the role.
Well, he's been in and out of that role of Batman like five times now in the last 5 years.
Right,
and if he's going to write or direct or do any of that.
Right. So, again, I think if you're whoever's running this cinematic universe... and Henry Cavill is clearly picking up a Netflix series, The Witcher, he's going to do. I think his best... I mean, he started in television, so he's going back to television. That's fine. But I think his best movie role was in Mission Impossible Fallout. So
I have to see that.
You know, I think maybe you're looking at this guy and thinking, you know what? He's clearly interested in other things. Let's just part ways now and we can start fresh. They're also developing a Supergirl movie. So I think they're like, well, let's focus on that Kryptonian and...
Well, because he'd be younger or like tiny then.
Right. He's supposed to be an infant right. if they follow the traditional sort
well,
of...
Well, either way, even if they don't follow the traditional, he wouldn't be older than her, you know?
Right.
Or correct. Whatever. Meh. I don't know. It's a big shakeup. But again, some of their movies were good. But again, it's just so much death and destruction that it gets to be like, okay.
Yeah. And again, I know, and I feel bad that Wing is in here to defend it. I know he loves Man of Steel.
I like Man of Steel. The first one I like a lot, but I don't know. Going forward from there, it just became more of the same until we got to Wonder Woman.
Right. And again, I feel like they tried to redeem him with Justice League, but he had the CGI lip and it just looked wrong. Yeah. I don't know.
I gotta watch that again too.
Yeah. Downton Abbey gets a movie release date. I'm saying this because I'm excited for it. And it apparently is targeting Oscar season as well. So it's going to be a holiday release next year, which should excite a lot of people.
Nice. Is that something you and the wife will go see?
We'll definitely go see it. It's a good show. It was a good show.
How many seasons were there?
Six, seven, maybe. Yeah. But they're British series seasons, so they're short.
Right.
And then they have some like longer special episodes.
Okay, cool.
You'd like it, Beef.
Yeah, I probably would. It's just one more thing to add for the lady and I.
LeBron James sets Black Panther's Ryan Coogler to produce Space Jam 2, which will start filming next year.
Do we need another Space Jam?
We only had one, so the question is, do we need two?
I mean, I guess he does want to be Michael Jordan, but I'm glad that Mr. Coogler is in there because we know that he does good work.
Right,
so,
we do.
You know, I guess maybe.
Okay. I think that's the right answer is maybe. And this was kind of the shell shock news of the day. This just broke today. So I don't know too much about it. Loki, Scarlet Witch, and other Marvel movie heroes will be getting their own limited TV series on the Disney streaming service.
I think that's fun. Give them backstories. Give these people, you have them under contract. Give them backstories. Give them side stories. I would love to see Princess Suri or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I would love her series.
Give me the War Machine movie. That's what I want.
Yeah, any of that. Any of that shit would be great.
Yeah. So the idea behind this is that obviously, Marvel has shows on network TV. They have shows on Netflix. But those are kind of underseen by a different branch of...
And apparently, they're not taking those from Netflix.
Right. Those will stay where they are, and I think those are part of a separate deal. So the question is then, what's left for Marvel to develop on television? And I think the answer is that they want to take the sort of B-list... characters from the movies and give them their own limited series, you know, whether it's 8 episodes or 10 episodes, maybe just one season.
Some will stick, some won't, but you have that money and you have, why not?
Right. And I think Feige is going to be directly involved in putting them together. And again, you know, I have to say, Loki.
He has to be a robot. Feige has to be a robot.
Yeah. Or cloned.
How can he keep all that shit straight in his head?
We'll find out. I mean, maybe he'll hand some of it over to James Gunn and say, well, you know, they didn't want him to do the movies. That's fine, but do the TV series. But Loki, who died in Avengers Infinity War, is getting his own show. Scarlet Witch, who died in Avengers Infinity War, getting her own show. This also undercuts a little bit of the suspense there.
So what are you telling me?
Well, I know. In addition to your Black Panther, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange sequels, we will be getting.
Wait a minute. There is a Doctor Strange sequel?
Oh, yeah, of course. They'll do one.
Okay.
But we will be getting more of these characters, too, who are supposed to be dead.
Well, clearly, we all kind of know, spoiler alert, that it's probably just going to be Iron Man, Captain America, handful other people that die. The
right.
originals.
Because their contracts
are Chris up. Evans wants the fuck out.
Unless they come back and do the show. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, do small part-time and just still get paid big cash to just pop into Scarlet Witch's show twice a season.
It's a payola. And I should add that this Disney streaming service, like, there's a lot of stuff that they're developing, including some Star Wars series with Jon Favreau. So
they're going to charge so much for it, though, I'll bet.
Yep, they will. They sure will.
Trailer dump.
We actually had such a big dump that we had to flush twice.
And we just lost two more listeners. So there'll be leftovers for next week.
Right. There will be, we will let it mellow.
No, it's wrong stuff to let mellow, bro.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I highlighted, oh, that's right, in yellow. So we're going to talk about some trailers now. We'll save some and probably add a couple more next week. Let's start with Replicas. This was your pick. Tell us about this.
We saw a trailer for this probably about a year ago and then didn't hear anything about it. I think it was supposed to come out in August this year, but they just started dropping trailers again. Keanu Reeves is like a scientist of some sort trying to map consciousness, and he's got a couple experiments to work, and of course he is in a car crash and all of his family dies. Well, he hires someone to help use their whatever to blah, 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 and someone to create some bodies and blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, apparently, he can only bring back 3 of the 4 of his family members permanently. So it's all the moral questions.
Wait, you got that from the trailer?
I read that somewhere as well, too. Three of the four I read.
I didn't get a whole lot from the trailer other than some quick cuts and some words typed on the screen.
I remember a bunch of it from the old one. Trailer, okay. But the 3 of the 4 I picked up reading whatever trailer, wherever I saw the trailer. So, but yeah, clones or memory dump or consciousness or whatever. Quotey fingers, as Wing would make me say. But yeah, looks good.
Yeah, I mean, again, I watched the trailer. Didn't get a whole lot from it other than a vague iRobot feel.
Yep, I could see that.
So we'll see what they do with it. Definitely low budget, right? I mean, this doesn't look...
Well, they apparently, after you see the couple iRobot ones from the old trailers, his family is actually his family again. So it's not like there's robots walking around. It's just their skin jobs, basically.
Oh, fucking...
Yeah, so...
God damn it.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to use the word.
Where's Blade Runner when you need him?
Right?
Apostle. Okay, this one got me excited. Dan Stevens... Lately of Downton Abbey, now of Legion.
This looked messed up.
Doing kind of a Wicker Man thing in England. I thought this looked cray-cray fun. It's going to be on Netflix in like a week or two.
Yeah, I didn't know what to think about it. And then I realized it was him. And I was like, okay, I'll check this out.
Him and Michael Sheen, right?
I believe so,
the other guy? Yeah.
Who's the chick? I know the chick's name, too. But yeah, it looks messed up, and like you said, Wicker Man, kind of People of the Woods, I don't know.
Yeah,
Children of the Corn, something. Flogging, right. Self-flagellation, all that shit.
All right, speaking of torture porn, Mandy.
This?
Holy what?
I wanted to see this so bad, and now I'm like, I don't know if I can.
Right. Like, so a friend of mine went to a screening and wrote a review, and based on what he said, my friend Ian, who is a film critic and blogger, you can check him out at primalscenes@blogspot.com. He does these reviews, and he saw Mandy, and he kind of broke down what the film is and how it's structured, and basically, it sounds as good as the trailer looks.
I started reading his review, and I didn't want to get too far into it because
right.
It is very, I don't know, he does a good job. So when he started describing things, I was like, okay, I already need to see this.
Right,
he said something about like the Hills Have Eyes looking people, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, you see him in the trailer making the axe.
Yeah, it's so messed up.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And then Nicolas Cage's wife gets like kidnapped or something by a sex cult.
And then it's the rest of it is like a revenge, him getting revenge.
Yeah, he makes
hunting them down.
What's the blade that the Klingons use?
It looks like it's an axe. It does look like a Batleth.
Thank you. I knew it looked like something from Star Trek.
But this looks so much fun. And again, you're right. I don't know if I can see it in the theater. It just looks that intense. But I'm on board with Mandy. Oh. Let's take it the complete opposite direction. And basically, this trailer for Mary Poppins Returns. I think I need to go to the dentist because it gave me cavities. It is so sweet.
Ew, with the pun, and I'm not a fan because I didn't really like Mary Poppins as a kid. So,
controversial opinion beef.
So,
I prefer Sound of Music. If I'm picking singing nannies, I like Julie Andrews better.
Okay. I mean, I could see your argument here. I don't know how Wing would feel about any of this, but you know, Mary Poppins Returns. It'll be who is it? Is it like Emily Blunt in it or something?
It is, I believe. It is Emily Blunt.
So messed up without blonde hair. She looks beautiful still, but like I didn't realize it.
You can't hurt her looks, I don't think, Emily Blunt.
No, but like I couldn't. It didn't click that it was her until they said it. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever. I know. I'm a hair colorist, I guess. Ballad of Buster Scruggs. This looks
fun. Did I say that? Julie Andrews plays Mary Poppins.
Who did what?
Why did I'm sorry.
Did you
she's in The Sound of Music. What?
Did you just short out?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I broke.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Mary Poppins Returns has Hamilton in it, Lin-Manuel Miranda. So that's good.
Nice.
Did you move on without me?
No, we can we'll let the clutch catch here. Ballad of Buster Scruggs looks pretty cool.
Take me to this movie. Oh, wait, it's on Netflix. I can just go see it in my house. The Coen brothers doing a comedy western-ish.
Question?
Yeah, and it looks kind of like an anthology movie. Like it's obviously there are different stories kind of going on at once. Which is fun. This trailer looks awesome, and
it looks beautifully shot. That's for sure.
It looks like a Coen Brothers movie.
True.
So, sentence. What's my sentence?
First time.
So great. All right. These are all great trailers, but there is one trailer this week to rule them all. Captain Marvel.
I didn't know how I was going to feel about this.
And how did you feel?
Pretty darn happy.
Yeah, me too.
It looks like it'll be fun. It looks like there's good story. It looks like the fucking de-aging is done beautifully.
Yeah.
And you see like the first initiation of a text pager, which he still carries till he fall apart.
Well, straight from Blockbuster Video.
Oh,
and
how beautiful is that? I like it that they wanted to give you something simple to let you know it was a long time ago, but not that long ago.
A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, so good. You see her green Kree. Was it like that's her green Kree costume?
That is Kree, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are Skrulls all over that trailer. There's a lot of mystery still. There's a young Nick Fury, a young Phil Coulson.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be weird because it looks like she's felt something for a while.
Yeah,
so I don't know how they're gonna work that in, but whatevs. I will check it out.
It's a flashback movie with flashbacks, which I think is kind of cool. And
wait a minute, isn't it a prequel movie with flashbacks?
Well,
I'm just kidding. I'm
not exactly sure how they're gonna frame it. I know that, obviously, we know it's set in the 90s. It looks like it's flashing back to even before she crash lands on Earth.
Correct.
She's serving in the Star Force. And then before that, she was a fighter pilot on Earth. So, and obviously, she is.
I don't know how any of that works.
Super duper super powered. So, we'll see what she's truly capable of.
Superwoman, right? basically, in the Marvel universe.
Right. And she has this thing where she goes supernova. And I think you kind of see it towards the end of the trailer where basically her superpower is, among like flight and super strength and durability, she can absorb energy and then direct it back out. And if she absorbs enough energy, she basically goes Super Saiyan.
So she's like a Thanos buster.
Right.
Okay.
Which is why you would page someone like her for help if Thanos was Thanosing.
Okay. Okay.
Snapping his fingers.
Right. Doing that jazz music.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is a trailer. It already has 109 million views in the first 24 hours, which is respectable.
They all just get bigger by like a few views every time.
Well, so far Infinity War was the biggest with 230 million views.
Well, it is episode 19. In the 19.
First 24 hours. Right. Yeah. 22?
Was it?
I think. No, 20. This Captain Marvel will be 21.
Yes, so what's-her-name was 19 because you have Ant-Man in the middle.
Yep.
Random shit, Castle Rock.
Okay, so I've been watching Castle Rock on the regular since it released on Hulu and then, you know, every week. So stick with it is my recommendation as a Stephen King fan. Stick with it.
Does it get a little slow or what?
It does. It is what I would consider meditative in that the episodes do not necessarily go at a breakneck pace.
Okay.
But they're thoughtful. And each episode is kind of slowly peeling back or adding to the mystery. The last three episodes, I think starting with the episode The Queen, like peel back all the layers. And then you realize that there are more layers under those, and the layers that you thought were the top layers are actually the bottom layers. And it's, yeah, it's crazy.
Damn it.
The season finale was very well done. Brace yourself for what I would consider an alarming sort of ending, and then keep watching through the end credits.
Okay, so they're pulling a Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix's Next Gen.
What is this?
It is like Big Hero 6, but Netflix did a version of it's in the future. Everyone has robots. And
everyone has robots.
Like literally every family has a robot. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a company that's like a riff on it. Basically takes stuff from our pop culture. It's like a Facebook / iPhone Apple, right? Mm-hmm. And they give everyone, basically everyone in the audience, as soon as it opens up, gets a new robot, right? The new model. So they pull the Oprah thing, and I don't know, it's this little girl finds a robot, an outcast, a bullied kid, finds like the next gen of the robot, and it's a fun kind of action kid movie that's a little more action and a little more adult, you know, because it's got the inside jokes, and the robot translates the dog, and the dog is what's his name? The funny guy from Ant-Man, Pena, right?
Yeah, Michael Pena.
Michael Pena. So it's him, but when the robot translates him, the dog is like swearing and bitching at people all the time. So
it's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so this is a kid's show. It's a grown-up show.
Yes, I mean, it's like it's doing the Disney
the Simpsons
thing. Yeah, it's okay. Doing the Disney thing where it's, or you know, the Pixar thing where it's just adult enough, maybe getting
right,
a little
okay.
bit more adult than it should be, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It's kidsy and it's adulty. So okay. It's a good Saturday afternoon when your foot's laid up in a cast or whatever.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Hope you're doing all right.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, that was news. Woo-hoo. We crammed a lot in there. We are taking a bit of a breather next week because Wing will be off again. So it's just Beef and I. We thought we would do... not a movie, but a documentary. We've only done a couple of those in the last couple of years, since I joined anyway. And it's a pop culture doc about a beloved IP, I think, from our childhood, Beef. Can you read the entire title without taking a breath?
Power of Grayskull, the definitive history of He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
All right, there it is. This is on Netflix. It was a Kickstarter film. So
this is great.
Yeah, you saw it, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to watch it again. I watched it. You mentioned it last week before the cast, and I was Saturday hanging out, had a few hours to kill before my girlfriend came over, and it was in my queue, and I watched it, and to be honest, I put it on thinking I was going to get like a half hour, 45 minute nap, and it right. so intrigued me that I could not fall asleep. So yeah, this is cool. Okay.
So I'm excited. I haven't watched it yet, but it has been on my radar since it hit Netflix. I was an ambivalent He-Man fan as a kid. I had the toys, but I never went, not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into it. But I'm kind of intrigued to see what this documentary has to offer.
Yeah, cool. Well, that'll be fun to do next week.
So that will be next week. What was this?
This has been episode 389 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, damn, that movie was the longest yard.
You know, today is actually Talk Like a Pirate Day, so I'm going to pronounce it the longest yard.
Yard. Shiver
Walk
me timbers.
Shiver me timbers, Burt Reynolds.
Oh. Yar.
By the mustache of Reynolds, I have the power.
Oh my God, the two halves of it. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.